So James just told me that one of the national finals a few years ago when he was in Edmonton was minus 25. So minus 2 is snow is nothing. It's great. Good to be with you guys this morning. And I know we've just prayed, but I would like to pray before we start into the scriptures. Dan Bennett, would you pray for us this morning? That'd be great.
God, you are great. The Spirit is present. And we want to listen to you this morning. So open our hearts, Lord. May you bless him. Give him joy and encouragement and peace this morning. Lord, give us what you need this morning. We need you. We trust you. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. A little different this morning. I hope I'm a bit shorter and leave a bit of room for some questions. If they exist this morning. So I want to talk this morning a little bit about, I think a good word for it is a spectrum, or maybe it's a journey. So here's an example. When I met Shelley, we began to date. One date, that went okay. Next date, okay, a little bit further in the journey, great. Somewhere along the line, there was probably a kiss. Okay, good. Next, keep going. We bonded, and then we get to engagement, and then we get to marriage, and then we get to kids. And here we are 30 years later. In fact, our anniversary comes up in a month, and out of your generosity, you gave us a gift at the retreat this last year. We're going to go on a little holiday together and celebrate our 30th anniversary, so we're really grateful for that. But there was a progression, right? There was a spectrum of where things were at in the relationship. You don't get to 30 years before you do some other things. You just, it works its way naturally. Now, why am I telling you that? Because the fact is true, it's the same with our spiritual life. There's a spectrum, or there's a journey, or there's a growth pattern that begins to happen, and it doesn't matter, in a sense, where we're at as much as the direction that we're heading and who we're following. So, you think of in the Bible, in John chapter 1, and we've mentioned this before, where Peter and Andrew are following John the Baptist, and what do? They are with John the Baptist one day, and John sees Jesus, and he says, "Hey, you know what, Ray? It's good that you're following me, but you really should be following that guy over there." And so Peter and Andrew go, James and Andrew, go and follow Jesus. And they spend a day with Jesus. And at the end of the day, remember what they do? They run home to their brothers, Peter and John, and they say, "Come and see. We think we found the one we've been waiting for." So there's this introduction to Jesus. That was sort of at the very beginning. And so Peter and John, what do? They go and spend a day with Jesus. And at the end of that day with Jesus, Jesus says to them, "Well, okay, but you have to follow me." And by following, he wasn't just saying sort of walk behind me. He was saying, "Come on this journey with me, and I'll show you what life is all about." So there was the introduction to come and see. There was the invitation, follow me. And as they grew in their faith, Jesus comes to the end of his ministry, and what does he say? Go and make disciples. So there's a spectrum, there's a journey that begins to happen. And I think one of the problems that we've had is that way too often in Christianity, we've said, well, you're in or you're out. There's this side or that side. Now, I know there's a little bit of truth to that because we have to make a decision to follow Jesus. And I know that's what we're talking about. But way too often we forget there's a spectrum. There's a journey. And different people are at different stages of the journey. And that's fine, as long as we're headed in a direction. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. I want to talk about two things. The direction that we're heading and a description of how I think we can walk in that journey together. If you read any of John Bowen's stuff this week, you realize that Bowen does something wonderful for us. He says instead of it just being about propositions, Christianity just being about propositions. Like, Sam, if you believe these three or four things, good to go, you're in, no problem, right? If you don't believe them, then it's a bit of a problem. He says it's not just about propositions. He gives us pictures. Now, John, do we have pictures on the screen that you can help me with here? See if you, yeah, it's hard to see, isn't it? Can anybody even see that? Dave, can you see that? Do you know what that is? Anybody guess what painting that is? Dan knows it.
Rembrandt's Return of the Lost Son.
Yeah, well done. It's the Return of the Prodigal Son by Rembrandt, okay? And John gives us this picture in our reading where he says, some people see Christianity, it's like the return of the prodigal son. Here's this son who has basically said to his dad, you're no good. You're as good as dead to me. In fact, you're better off dead because then I can take your money. And he takes the money and he goes and he squanders it in wild living, right? But then there comes a point in the son's life where he says, I gotta go home. All this stuff that I've been doing isn't cracked up to be what it's supposed to be. And I need to go home because I've been created. We've all been created with this longing for home and a longing for relationship with Dad. Then Bowen goes on and he gives John, there's another picture, second one. It's kind of tiny, but can you see it? Anybody know what this picture is? This one's harder. You have to be like really, really old to know this picture. It used to be that they would have this painting in the back of Bibles. And this painting is done by a guy by the name of Holman Hunt. And it's Jesus knocking on the door of what is supposed to be our hearts, or a cottage. It comes out of Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. And so there's a picture of the prodigal son and that kind of story. But John says, there's another story that we've heard. It's a story where Jesus is knocking on the door of our lives. And he says, I want to come in. And I want to have a relationship with you. It's kind of like, if you invite me in, I'm going to sit at the table with you and we're going to have table fellowship, which for the Jews was a big deal. Now, you can't possibly see it in this picture. It's too hard. But there's something about the door that's unique. Anybody remember what's unique about the door? Yeah, Sam's got it. There's no handle on the outside, right? You have to pull it from the inside. In other words, Jesus isn't barging his way in. You got to open that. And so it's not just about propositions that you believe, but about stories that shape us and stories that help us on the spectrum. Well, the third story that John talks about is the one I want to focus on for a few minutes this morning. And it's found in Matthew chapter 11. Craig just read it for us a few minutes ago. And this is not a famous painting, but it'll at least get the picture across, right? It's two oxen that are yoked together. And typically when oxen are yoked together, one is the lead and the other sort of goes along. But they go in the same direction and they go in the same way. And it's such an important part of this text. So come with me to this text. And I want to give you three promises quickly that I think Jesus makes in Matthew chapter 11, verse 25 to 30. Verse 25 to 28. I know Craig just read it. Let me read it again so you hear just this part again. Here's the first promise. It says, at that time Jesus said, I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you've hidden these things from the wise and learned. Reveal them to the little children. Yes, Father, for this is what you were pleased to do. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Here's what Jesus is saying. Friends, I'm heading in that direction. Come follow me. And as I go in this direction, the place that I'm heading is home. Home to be with the Father. And I am going to reveal to all those who come with me who the Father is. And you can be restored into relationship with the Father. In fact, he says, I'm going in this direction. It leads to life. And that life is life with the Father. Relationship with the Father. You don't get there because you're clever. You don't get there because you're smart. You don't get there because you're in your own strength. He says, no, in fact, it's actually like the little kids who come just full of faith, who go with me on this journey as we head towards the Father. Now, in Matthew chapter 11, if you turn back for a few verses earlier, you'll see that the context that Jesus gives us in is there's a whole bunch of people who have said, we don't need that. We don't need this stuff. We're going to go do our own thing. And Jesus says, in light of that, everybody has a choice. come with me or not to come with me, but you don't sit still. You're not neutral. You can't be on the fence. You go one way or you go the other. And he says, so my promise is come follow me and I'll lead you to life. You can't help but picture all the way back in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. There they were, it says in Genesis, walking in the cool of the garden with the Father. And they were walking with God and they could hear his voice. And yet sin has separated us. And so Jesus says, I want to lead you back to that relationship. This is life to the fullest. So here's the question for us that comes out of this first promise of Jesus. Do you really believe life is found in Jesus? Now, I know we're here. It's a Sunday morning and we're all going to go, yes, we believe in Jesus. Okay, good. Sunday school answer. Do you remember the time when Jesus was teaching and he said some hard things? A whole bunch of people left. This is too hard. If I remember correctly, he was talking actually about communion. And it does sound a little weird. He was teaching some things that were difficult. Yeah, but come on, Jesus, you don't know the 21st century. That's too tough. He comes up to Peter and he says, Peter, there's a whole bunch of people that have left. You going to leave too? Peter says, no, Jesus. How could we leave? You have the words of eternal life. In other words, life is found in you. You are heading, you're taking us to the Father. Therefore, we want to follow with everything that we've got. Jesus promises it is, follow me and I will lead you to the Father. The challenge is, do we really believe it? So here's the second promise he makes in this text. Come with me to verse 28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. First of all, he says, come on, let's go. We're going in this direction. The second thing he says is, but don't lag behind. Come walk right with me as we go. Because when you walk with me, the journey becomes ever so much easier. Now we read this and we say, come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. One of the problems is how we've understood rest. You see, sometimes we think rest means good, an afternoon on the couch, lazy, comfort, ease, everything's going to work out well. Friends, this verse doesn't mean that at all. This word doesn't mean even close to that. Rest here means I will give you peace, contentedness, a level of trust, so that even when the circumstances of your life are not what you expect, somehow there's a contentedness on the inside. Oh, Jesus doesn't promise that life will be easy and all the circumstances will work. Jesus doesn't promise that there won't be any effort involved. Of course there is. But he promises that when we walk with him, we don't live in our own strength, but we live in his strength. Quick little question. Maybe a confession from my end. Remember the last time that you felt, well, the circumstances were not going well. There was anxiety. Things were just not as you'd planned at all. And do you remember what happened on the inside? Was there a level of stress that rose or a sense of discomfort? Happens too often. Jesus says, Cameron, when you learn to trust me, it doesn't mean you won't be disappointed. It doesn't mean you won't be upset in tough circumstances. But there's somehow this dependency, this level of trust that says, my Father knows what's best and will carry me in the midst of even life's most greatest difficulties. That's what Jesus says. Come with me, I'm leading you to the Father. But don't lag behind. Come right beside me, and my strength will help you through this. So here's the question. The first question was, is life really found in Jesus? Do you believe that? The second is, how close are you to Jesus? I know some of us have this impression that, well, as long as I'm going in the right direction, I'm okay. But we lag behind. And we think it's okay to keep our distance. And Jesus says, please don't. Come. Walk right beside me. Be in relationship with me. Here's the third promise he makes, verse 29 and 30. Read it one more time. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He's leading us in the direction towards the Father. He's giving us an attitude and a sense of peace. But on this journey, he says, there's a lot to learn, so I want you to join my school of discipleship. In fact, he says, I'm on mission from the Father. I'm on mission to show you a way home and to show you what it means to live like Jesus. So come. In this context, when people would have heard this, when the crowds would have listened to Jesus' teaching, they would have had a couple things in their mind. One of them was this. The Pharisees had 613 laws that if you were going to be a good guy, you had to obey. Who keeps 613 laws perfectly all the time? Jesus says, that's not the way of discipleship. The way of discipleship, he says, is found, and most people would have thought this, the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7, where Jesus taught about what it meant to do life in the kingdom. That was his school of discipleship. In that school of discipleship, he teaches us not just how to have a relationship with the Father, not just how to have a relationship with the Son, but how to have a relationship with each other, both in the church and also with our neighbors. So the question here is this. Not just is life found in Jesus, not just how close are you to Jesus, but are you helping others to find their way to Jesus also? Think about it for a second. On this spectrum, on this journey of relationship with Jesus, who's mentored you? Who's helped you to take steps forward? Thank God for them. But then ask the next question of, who are you helping? Who are you helping to mentor? Because that's what it means to be part of this school of discipleship that Jesus is inviting us into. All right, so we looked at direction. Now, come with me to the second part where I want to look at a description. And here's where we change gears a bit. Did everyone receive one of these sheets when they came in this morning? Anybody not get one of these? Michelle's got a few extras. I told you this morning it's just a touch different. A little bit practical here in the second part. What I want to do is I want to give you three words that describe this funnel that's on the one side of the page. See, Jesus says, come with me. We're going in that direction towards the Father. And this whole journey, he says, is formed around mission. This funnel, this direction, this following Jesus is formed around mission because Jesus has been sent by the Father to lead us back to the Father. Secondly, not just formed around mission, but it's shaped by practices. If you flip the sheet over, you'll see Southside's five shared practices on the bottom. Now, these are not the only five practices there are in the world. These may be not even the best five practices for different churches. But they're the ones that we believe God's called us to be a part of. And what do? Well, they help us to become more like Jesus as we join him on this journey. So the five are there. You don't need me to go through them. You can see them there. But what they do is they narrow the funnel. And when you're further back away from Jesus, you're maybe not as much like Jesus or you're not participating in some of those practices. And the more we participate, we believe we become more like Jesus. So we're formed around mission. In other words, that's the place we're going. We're shaped by these practices. And then thirdly, third word, is we're empowered by the Spirit. In other words, you don't get further in this journey all because you tried harder. Or you do it in your own strength. But rather, you move closer and closer to Jesus because you're empowered by the Holy Spirit. Formed around mission, shaped by practices, empowered by the Spirit. Okay, final three things, three C's. You see them on the page there. Connected, community, covenant. Connected are those that they need to hear the come and see. They need to be introduced to Jesus. And who's going to do that? Friends, when we started Southside, one of the most important things to us, maybe the most important thing to us, we believe that God called us here not to be a church for Christians, but to be a church where people could ask spiritual questions, who are on a spiritual journey, who are in search, that we could introduce our friends to Jesus. It's not even about coming to church on Sunday, although we do because we're part of his family. But it's about introducing our friends to Jesus. Come and see. There are people and have been people over the years who have been connected to Southside. Neighbors, friends, co-workers. And we need to find every possible means that we can to tell them the good news of what Jesus has done in our lives. To introduce them to who he is. So Terry told the story of Alpha. We do Alpha because that very reason. There's a movie night happening at Robson Park this Friday night. We do that because we're trying to find every way that we can to have relationships with people that don't know Jesus. One of the things that's changed from the beginning till now is that we used to be what they called seeker targeted. Anybody heard that phrase before? Dan and Sherry and Kaylee and Tyson, Carla, others that have been here years, you remember some of those days. Caroline, you remember those days. We did crazy things, you guys. We did absolutely silly things, funny, but silly, in order to try to find a way that people who had spiritual questions could come in and could hear about Jesus. Now, the days have changed. That was 25 years ago. Our Sunday mornings have changed. Some of you say, thank goodness for them. We've moved from being seeker-targeted to saying, you know, the onus is not on getting people in here on a Sunday. The onus is on helping us care enough for our friends and neighbors that we practice hospitality. That we have people into our homes, that we sit around the table and we share life together and talk about what it means, what Jesus has done for our life. There are those that are connected, and we need to find every way, shape, and form we can to invite them further on this journey. Then there are those who fall under this community category. These are important people as well, just as important as those who are connected. These are people who have already heard the invitation of Jesus to follow him and have said yes, but maybe haven't totally understood how crucially important it is to be in relationship with Jesus and with his people. They haven't drawn as near to Jesus as they know they want to. They haven't drawn as near to Jesus' people as they know they could. Sometimes people keep the church at arm's length. I get that, understand that in our context. But friends, you can't love the groom without loving the bride. You can't love the groom without loving the bride. And no matter how cracked in the head churches are, the plan of Jesus was to say, come with me on this journey. And oh, by the way, there'll be others on this journey too. And you need them as you need me. You need each other. And so there's this sense of community. People who participate on a Sunday, but we're inviting those people to say, come on, we're going to take another step closer to Jesus and closer to his people and become part of covenant. Because those that are in covenant have said, we believe that Jesus is calling us on this journey towards the Father and that he's invited us to live in this way through a covenant, through shared practices, so that more and more people get introduced to Jesus and hear his invitation to follow him. And have come to a place where they take responsibility to learn in his school of discipleship that we're to go and make other disciples. So I want to ask you a couple questions and then leave a minute or two if you have questions that you want to push back on. Look at the funnel and with your pen, put an X somewhere along the line as to where you think you might be on this journey. connected, haven't really accepted Jesus yet, interested, but maybe haven't made that commitment. Or community. Yeah, show up on Sunday, go to church, all that's good, but maybe haven't really entered into a covenant relationship with other Christians who are on that journey and with Jesus. Or, no, I'm drawing closer and closer to Jesus. I'm learning more and more, and I long to draw even closer to him. Put an X somewhere on that journey. Where do you think you might be? How close are you, in essence, to Jesus? In which direction are you heading? You heading towards or away? And what steps will you take to head even closer to him? What steps have you taken over the last little while, and what will you take? And then finally, what needs to change? What needs to change in you? What needs to change in us? For those of you that are part of a mission group, and that should be pretty much everybody in this room, we're going to take time on Wednesday, and we're going to go through some of this together in a smaller group setting where we can talk it through. It's no good to say, well, Jesus is heading that way, and well, no, I'm going to head that way. I mean, if that's where you're at, then we can have that conversation. Or you could say, well, Jesus is heading that way, but I'm quite a ways behind. Then don't stay quite a ways behind. Let's figure out together how we can help take some steps forward in that relationship. These are the important things that we need to wrestle through together. That's what comes out of this story, this picture, as Jesus talks about being yoked together with Jesus. We put that yoke on and we walk with him as he leads towards the Father. Now, we don't do this often, so it might not work. Thoughts, comments, questions, push back. Otherwise, I'm going to invite Craig to come. I think we're going to do one more song. Is that right? You all understood it perfectly. Wow, that was great. Well, it should be a good conversation in mission group on Wednesday night. And I hope that you end up with some good conversation. Let me pray, invite Craig back up. Just close our time together. Jesus, thank you that you are leading us home. We were all created to be in relationship with the Father. We bless you. And thank you that your invitation is to follow you, not just in direction, but to actually follow alongside you, to walk with you, or in essence, you with us. So not only do we have relationship with the Father, we have relationship with you. And thank you too, Lord Jesus, that you've invited us, instructed us even, in your school of discipleship, not just to walk with you selfishly as our own, but instead to be able to shout from the top of our voices to those we love in our schools, in our neighborhoods, in our families. They too can come on this journey. And the issue is not just whether you're in or out. The issue is, which direction are we heading? And will we join you and participate with you in this incredible journey of life? That we may come to know that indeed, where else would we go? For you have the words of eternal life. Life with you is incomparable. We bless you for passages and stories and pictures like we have this week. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And for his kingdom's sake. Amen.